Christmas for many people has become an exhausting time with the ever essence of commercialisation that invades our homes and everything else at this time of the year. And I know for some families they find this period very difficult because of the pressures of community and society that we seem to be put under as we enter this great period of celebration. However, I hope that for those of us who find ourselves in churches over this period, because we believe that there's a genuine reason to celebrate Christmas, we pray, Lord, that we can find some peace amongst the hustle and the bustle of everything else that's going on. Did you know it was 1,500 years ago that the church started to call the 4 weeks before Christmas Advent? And the reason was to give people notice that this great celebration was coming. The priests didn't want people to turn up to church on Christmas Day unexpectedly. They believed that people should prepare for Christmas time to celebrate Jesus' birth. And I think that was quite a good idea, to set aside something of the church calendar to prepare to celebrate that time when God stepped down onto the earth in human form, to come as a baby growing in a womb, growing up within a family, finding out what it really like to live as a human being. And I'm convinced that keeping the season of Advent in our minds for the next 24 days will help us keep focus on that and help us to put aside all the other pressures that come at this time of the year, especially as we approach the darkness of all that goes on, because we live in the normal hemisphere. And it seems strange to me, after all the years I've lived on this planet, that as we approach Christmas, it seems to be getting darker earlier and earlier in the day. What's going on? I'm definitely having trouble with this again. Right, here we are. J. John says this about Advent. The early church took very seriously the startling idea that in the birth of Jesus, God himself had come to earth in person. In fact, they took it so seriously that they calculated the date of the nativity and used it to divide all history into BC and AD. And precisely because the feast that became Christmas celebrated an event that was so utterly earth-shattering, they believed that it was inappropriate that it should occur without some preparation. They did not, it seems, feel that it was right for anybody should routinely walk into a church only suddenly to realise that the focus of the day's worship was about the greatest event in history. A commemoration of something as big as Christmas, the infinite God becoming a few pounds of human flesh, could not be allowed just to happen. People needed to prepare for that. And that's what we've done this year at Wootton. We are following the advice of the early church in preparing us all to really celebrate Christmas, a time to share the story of the incarnation. And I suppose an old-fashioned word these days, and not often used, but it certainly means that God became human. So we've got some set readings have been prepared over the years, and we're going to follow one of these set readings this week that N.T. Wright has produced, called Advent for Everyone, A Journey with the Apostles. And that's what we're going to follow in these next few Sundays before Christmas. I quite like N.T. Wright. He seems to be one of the most popular theologians in this modern day world. And I would certainly recommend this book that you could pick up from one of the well-known suppliers these days of books and everything, and order it today, and it would be there immediately on your device. Or if you wanted it in paper, it may take a few days. But it simply lists, has a reading of a few verses and some theological understanding of those verses that will take you about 10 minutes to read. And I'm certainly going to follow that through Advent. It looks good. And of course, we start off on the first Sunday, but there are readings for every day up till Christmas Day. Of course, if you don't fancy that, I know lots of you liked following Vince in his U Bible, and that's got several Advent progressions in it that you can follow through the days and the weeks. If you've never tried to do daily readings in Advent before, why not give it a try this year? But we're on the first opening verses of 1 Corinthians today. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always give thanks, says Paul, to my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all kinds of knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite an outstanding opening statement to his book that Paul makes. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, you're called to be his holy people. We generally think of the letter of Corinthians, especially the first one, that it's written to a church in deep trouble, with great confusion and disunity amongst the congregation. And that would certainly be so, to a certain extent. But we must remember that there were other things were going on in Corinth. Corinth was a very busy city, if you like. It was a bustling city. It got plenty of temples to many different gods, colosseums, public squares, municipal offices, public baths, and other public spaces that people could congregate. So it was quite an exciting place to live. And in amongst all the idolatry that was going on, there is a good Christian community that's struggling living in such an immoral society. And so when Paul listens to people travelling to where he is, he realises that not only are these people struggling against all that's going on around them, that many of them are still being faithful to God and following the teaching of Jesus Christ. So he tells them, if you are truly God's people, then you must try and live a life that's worthy of the Lord they acknowledge and worship, despite what's going on around them and despite the disunity in the church. And we can just imagine the difficulties these people are striving in to worship and keep to God's word in a difficult society that doesn't acknowledge the existence of God at all. We've seen again, haven't we, this last week, how our society endorses the actions of the humanist agenda of devaluing the essence of human life instead of valuing life by caring for the sick and supporting those who need help through a difficult time of life. It almost seems to me that this is a cheapening way of diminishing palliative care that's happened in our parliament this week. But we as Christians need to live with what's going on in society. We can't ignore it. It's part of us. And we have to try to keep faith and live a life of witness as Christians should do. So I want you just to look at this verse again. To the church in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, Jesus called us to be his holy people. Holy people is what... Whoops. Holy people is what we are looking at this morning in this first section. It's quite a strong statement, I think, that Paul makes, telling the people that despite all that's going on within the church, that they are still holy and blameless. But what we must remember, that God knows this group of Christians very well. He knows they're making mistakes. He knows they're saying the wrong things sometimes. But he's still holding them as holy people in his kingdom. Yet he knows their every thought, as he knows our every thought. And perhaps we feel sometimes that we are not holy enough. But we need to look at what the Word of God says. If we've committed ourselves to follow Jesus, then we become God's holy people, if we seek honestly to do that. And even when we perhaps fail mightily, he still holds us in his hands in that realm. It's because, you see, of what Jesus has done for us that we're made holy. We don't make ourselves holy. We don't keep ourselves holy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and lived in human form. So he knew the mistakes. He felt the mistakes. He knew the words and the deeds and the thoughts we shouldn't have. And yet, Paul says he will still hold us as holy people, because he took all our sins and our rottenness and took them on himself. And then, together with the Father, he allowed himself to be punished for our sins, dealing with our sins and the sins of the world. You know, I was just preparing this, I was just thinking, one of the things that I've got a bit of a funny trait about these days is that I like to use a napkin, stuff it in me shirt or my collar, because I seem to be spilling food more as I get older. And I just feel horrible when I go into perhaps the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I see I've got a stain on my jumper or my shirt. Well, that's life, isn't it? It's not that I'm deliberately doing something that causes this. It just happens. And I try to avoid it by taking the steps to prevent me changing my jumper every couple of hours. So let's remember this morning that being a Christian is the best life we can have. As Christians, we do matter about the finer points of life. We do matter about the little stains, the little faults, the little things we say and we shouldn't do. But we need to remember too that if our life includes regular times of confession, then we will always be maintained holy in God's eyes. So the church is fully endowed with all the gifts of God's grace. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and grace. That's another marvellous statement here. That what God's saying is that we lack nothing as Christians, no matter how long we've been one, if we have a heart for mission. It's no good of us saying, oh, we're not equipped, we haven't got enough experience. I believe this passage in Corinthians teaches us that every church has got enough spiritual and other types of gifts to make a difference in their community, to grow and introduce new people to the life of Jesus, no matter how themselves feel they're inadequate. You know, it's not unusual for Christians to suffer from low self-esteem. As a pastor, I've come across it over many years. People often feel that they're not good enough to serve God. But we need to take encouragement from these verses and these words that Paul writes. You lack nothing in any spiritual gift at this time. No matter how old your building is, or how lacking it's in good modern space or technology. I believe God's word says to the Corinthians, and it says to us today, that within our community we have enough faith, gifts and energy to do a good job of mission in this place today. And with the help of Andy, it's going to get better in the new year. Paul specifically stresses that the church at Corinth, with all its faults, all its internal difficulties, has got enough kinds of speech and knowledge to teach others. The two words here are logos and gnosis. Why did he choose those words? He could have chosen something other that would have fitted in, but he's chosen two distinct words about how much we know of God's word and wisdom. And we need to take that on. So thirdly then, glorious anticipation. We've got a wonderful message of encouragement here on the first Sunday of Advent. words from Paul that are urging the Corinthians to focus on God's faithfulness and grace rather than their shortcomings. And that is true for us today. I lost a very good friend a couple of years ago who was a missionary. And I spent quite a lot of time in her latter years together. And she was a great one for reading the books. She even wrote one herself. And I often noticed, and she mentioned once, that when she did like to read novels too, besides other Christian things. And she always told me, whenever she picked up a novel, she always read the last chapter first. And I said to her, why do you do that? And she said, well, I don't see any sense in wasting my time reading it if it hasn't got a good ending. And I was reflecting on that because it came to mind as I was preparing this. You know, we know the ending of our book, the Bible, the scriptures. It's got a good ending. Everything turns out in the right. And so we can look forward to completing our journey with the Lord through our life because he's given us enough grace and holiness and speech and knowledge to do that for the betterment of the world. I'm going to finish with a few words of wisdom from this man.
History, the God of the unfolding historical purpose, and one of many satisfying aspects of being a Christian is that the Christian faith and life integrate the past, the present, and the future. So let me end on that note. You know, one very healthy thing you would find, as I do, to say to ourselves each day concerns the already, the not yet, and the meanwhile. Say to yourself, already I have been enriched in Christ, which makes me look back with thanksgiving to the riches that he has given to me when I first came to him. But not yet has Christ been revealed, which makes me look forward to the future with eagerness. And thirdly, meanwhile, between the two poles, Christ is sustaining me, or willing to by his grace, and granting me fellowship with himself, that makes me look round to my present duties with confidence. Meditate on that, maybe sometime during the week. It's an integration of the already, the not yet, and the meanwhile that makes a balanced Christian discipleship possible.
So John Stott says of this passage, let me just repeat a few words he said. Already I have been enriched in Christ, which makes me look back with thanksgiving to the riches he has given me when I first come to him. So remember, this Advent time is a period of hope. And no matter what's happened in our lives this year, we can always step forward into this period of hope and anticipation, glorious anticipation, with faith and courage, because that's where God is leading us. Thank you, Chris.